I'm asking you to make your way to your seats, and we can go ahead and get started. We're going to continue on our series of sermons called Changed, and today we're going to be talking about a story in the Scripture that shows us an unbelievable amount of confident faith. You know, there's been times in our lives when we have dealt with situations in our lives that we just needed a faith that breaks through things. You know, and it was funny, as I was writing this sermon this week and preparing to preach today, you know, oftentimes as the Lord does, He brings things up in your life as a pastor who stands before you and preaches. You know, oftentimes I preach to myself all week long before I get to actually share this message to you all. And this definitely was one of those weeks for me that as I was writing this sermon, I'm thinking to myself, man, I need to be sitting in those seats down there and hearing this message and just sharing this message and grasping a hold of what this message has said. And I'm excited about what the Lord is doing through this message, but also encouraged to share this with you. You know, there's times in our lives where we feel that we're so out of touch with everything. I don't know about you, but there's times that I just literally sometimes have to just shut off the TV, shut off the news, shut off everything else because I feel so out of touch with everything. You watch the news and I'm like, is this really the world that we live in? Is this really going on around us? You know, and one of those times this week, it happened to be, well, it wasn't even on any of the national news, but do you know, just in the past week, there's been over, I think the number is now up to 400 Christians in Nigeria that have lost their lives. And that has not made the national news at all. You know, what has made the national news is someone who goes into a mosque in New Zealand, which is terrible. I mean, listen, I'm not leveling out and saying one is worse than the other. They're both very nasty things. But, you know, when 400 Christians lose their lives because they're Christians, that's a problem. That's called persecution at its greatest moment. And this is happening all around the world. We are kind of hidden from all of this, and we're kind of protected from this here in the States, but this is happening around us. And so as I was thinking about this message and thinking about this, and this, the Scripture doesn't really align with this, but I was just imagining the amount of faith it takes for one in this country to be a Christian compared to the amount of faith it takes to be a Christian in, let's say, Nigeria or somewhere else is amazing. We should be thanking the Lord every single day that we're here in this country. And instead, what happens often is, as we as Christians, we don't thank the Lord that we're Christians in the United States. We often just take it for granted, and we do things that other Christians in other countries would find appalling. Here in the United States, we as Christians here in the States just take it for granted that Jesus is always going to be there. And what happens when we have an attitude like that is often our faith is not where it needs to be. We have a faith that is sometimes lacking and sometimes a faith that is not confident in anything. The story that we're about to read today is a story of a man who had leprosy. Well, it's not fully understood what the term leprosy or what the disease leprosy meant in biblical terms. It is closely aligned to what they believe today, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name because I'll butcher it, but it is basically a skin disease that's very, very painful because it not only attacks your skin, but it also attacks your nervous system. And so there is an equivalent here to what we think of it here in the United States, although leprosy itself has been pretty much eradicated from the world around us now because of modern medicine. Back then, it was a very dangerous disease. In fact, we find in Leviticus 13, 45 through 46, and this isn't our verse that we're going to be targeting with, but I want to read to you what Leviticus 13, 45 and 46 says, because this is what a person who has leprosy has to go through. It says, the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as he has infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone, and he must live outside the camp. That's Leviticus 13, 45 through 46. I bring that up to you because the story that we're about to read from the New Testament talks about a man who has leprosy. But leprosy was a disease as such that it would cause people to be completely separated from everyone else. When you had this disease, you could not remain in town. You had to remain on the outside of town. You couldn't be in contact. And in fact, what they often had is when you had leprosy, you left your family because you didn't want your family to be infected with this disease. And so you found yourself alone. You found yourself humiliated. And you found yourself in great pain. Because leprosy was a painful, painful disease that happened. Here in our story that we'll be reading here in a moment, we find a man with the very disease that required him to live alone and cry out to everyone around him that he was unclean. Could you imagine? You're living with a disease that already is painful. It already hurts. It's already caused separation from your family and your friends. And now, anytime someone comes near to you, you have to call out, unclean, unclean. I mean, that's the modern day reality of us saying, I'm not too smart, I'm not smart, I'm dumb, you know? And I mean, it's really an attack on your own personal beliefs. And they would have to do this because they wanted to keep people away from them so that they would not also spread the disease to someone else. This man who had this disease, this leprosy, if you will, is a man who's dealing with extreme pain and suffering. Add on top of this that you could no longer have physical contact with anyone. Those people you used to hug, those people you used to spend time with, those people that you used to just be around, you could no longer go and grab and hug. If you're married, you could no longer hug your wife. You could no longer kiss your wife. If you had kids, you could no longer spend time because leprosy was spread not only through contact of each other, but it's also if you coughed in the air and someone breathed in that same air, you could spread leprosy from one person to another. In all reality, your life is practically over. Added to this is that there has been not a single case of leprosy healed for over 700 years. For 700 years, no one was healed of leprosy. And so when this man that we're going to be reading about here in a moment finds out that he has leprosy, he is now put out to the outside of the town. He has every reason to walk away from his faith. He has every reason why not to believe anyone around him would ever want to do anything with him. Yet we find him in him an unbelievable amount of faith. Let's read Luke chapter 5, verse 12 through 16. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded for proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Let's do that ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you're doing here in our midst. Lord, we want to have a faith that is so confident that it changes not only who we are, but it changes everything around us. Lord, may we have the confidence that this man that we just read who had leprosy had in you. May we know that today you want to do things in our lives that others have never done before. You want to do inside of us and in our families and in the people around us things that have never been completed before. And we want to make sure that when you do those things, the glory comes back to you. So Father, we pray today that you guide us, that you strengthen us, that you help us in this place to walk with you. Even when times seem to be bad and even when the news doesn't sound to be so good, Father, may we walk with you and know that you are still in charge of this world and all of those that are in our lives and in our own lives. You are still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, help us to hear from you. Help us to learn from the scripture today. Remove any hindrances from our minds and from our ears that would stop us from hearing what you would say to us today. Guide us and direct us in all things and help us to do your will, Father, because you deserve all of this. all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and we'll be sure to give it all to you. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. Amen. While the actions of Jesus in this story may not be unique, meaning he healed, because Jesus literally walked through Galilee and he walked through all the towns around him healing many people, the actions of what he did to this man is just an amazing thing. You have to understand, again, as I said earlier, that for 700 years, no one had ever been healed of leprosy. We find actually in earlier scripture, actually in Numbers 12, 9 through 15, Naaman, the general army of Aram, a heathen, the Bible calls him, was healed. And then we also find that when he obeyed Elijah's instructions, he was healed. We also find in scripture that Elijah himself not only healed this man, but also healed another one of leprosy. And so we find two cases in all of the Old Testament where leprosy was healed. But this was 700 years. The Bible says nothing about another person being healed for 700 years. You have to understand that this is not just a minor thing. This is a major thing. Because leprosy was very, very infectious. But it was also a very condemning disease. Once you received leprosy, you were cast out. You were separated. You were no longer part of the community around you. I spend so much time on this because you have to understand what Jesus did was an absolute, positively wonderful miracle that had never been done in over 700 years. Jesus came to this man, and this was walking in town, and I should say the man came to him, full of leprosy. That in its own right should have caused this man to be stoned to death or killed. If a person of leprosy approached you and got within 6 feet of you, because I figured most of you are within or way beyond 6 feet, so you're outside of what I call the splash zone here, right? As you preach, you know, things happen up here. But if you got within 6 feet of someone who had leprosy, or someone who had leprosy got within 6 feet of you without yelling out unclean or without trying at all causes to run away from you, they would be stoned to death and their life would be ended at that moment in time. That's how serious leprosy was. They wanted to get rid of it. They wanted not to infect someone else. The only way you could get leprosy again was if you spent time with someone who had it and... I almost said something that was probably not really appropriate to say from the pulpit, but you would exchange hugs or kisses or whatever that might be, and Bonnie, stop it. And so you would not have that time. So you could no longer do that. To the rabbis of the time, the curing of a leper was as difficult as raising a person from the dead. If you're a rabbi, you believed that you might have God the Father who could come down and help you, and maybe there's a chance that you could pray for a person who had leprosy, and maybe they would see to be healed, because, again, there are stories in the Old Testament that this had happened, but it hadn't happened in so many years. But we find in this man, in this story from Luke, this man who had leprosy, he had a faith that was willing to break through all of these things. Try for a moment to think about the amount of courage it took for this man who had leprosy to even come within shouting distance of Jesus. He has heard that Jesus, maybe in the whisper of people from around town, he might have heard that Jesus has done some healings. He might have heard that there has been a miracle going on. Or maybe something inside of him just screamed out, "This man can help you. This man can heal you." And Jesus comes, and we find that this man not only abandons all protocol in terms of staying away from him, but he comes and he says, the verse in verse 12 says, while he was in one of the cities, that meaning Jesus, there came a man full of leprosy. This man, this phrase, there came a man full of leprosy. What this verse is really saying is that this man came to Jesus. Jesus didn't just stumble upon a man who had leprosy. You understand that this man purposely sought out Jesus to have himself healed. He had a faith that he wanted to come forward with that was unbelievable. This man could have easily been stoned or jailed for coming even 6 feet from Jesus or any other person. But instead of praying, instead of hoping, instead of just sending back and going, oh, maybe God will send someone, maybe Jesus will come by me, maybe Jesus will say something to me, he made his faith happen. He acted upon his faith. This man had the faith to seek Jesus regardless of the price. You know, I think about these Christians in Nigeria, and I think about other places around the world where people have been stoned to death or killed or shot or killed for their faith, and I can't help but just imagine that would we here in this place, would all of us in this room have the faith to seek out Jesus regardless of the price that it takes? You know, I don't know the exact year, but whenever the shooting in Colorado happened and the story of Cassie Bernal, everyone remember that story? Where she was faced with the choice to say, I don't follow Jesus or I do follow Jesus. And she proudly stood up and said, I follow Jesus. And she took a bullet to the head for that and was killed. Over and over and over again, there are these stories of unbelievable, confident faith of people coming before the Lord saying, I believe, and then they're persecuted. We here in the United States have very little idea of what that means, but we do have other things that happen in our lives. We live in a protected environment. We have to understand this. We have to come to this agreement and come to this just understanding that we live in a protected environment. Christianity still to this day is legal in the United States. Although some would have it to be otherwise. There are some that give us a hard time about our faith and don't want us to have faith, but it's still legal today in the United States. It's still legal for us to meet in this school to do what we're doing here today. We should take this as a blessing that God has given to us and live that and be thankful for that. But still in our own faith, we find people who have come and that have, maybe you don't have leprosy today. I mean, I don't know anyone who has ever had leprosy, but maybe you have some other type of skin disease, or maybe you have some other type of medical report that's been given to you, and maybe you're dealing with something or going through some just really difficult times. See, too often when we get into that place, we find ourselves not so confident in our faith, we find ourselves confident in the problem around us. We find ourselves confident in all the issues that are raging around us. We find ourselves so confident that confidence is probably the wrong word, but we find ourselves enveloped in all of those things. And so what ends up happening is that we become so drawn into the negativity of everything around us that we forget that we still serve a God who can heal and do great things. We forget that there's a God who wants to reach down and touch people and say, I don't care what the doctors say about your liver disease, I'm going to reach down and touch you. We forget that there's still a God who says, I don't care that the doctors say you have cancer, I can reach down and touch you. He is God after all. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He gets to do what he wants to do. Many people, unfortunately, today don't have the faith to come forward to face their issues head on and take them to the feet of Jesus. We get embarrassed to stand up and ask for prayer in front of the church. We get embarrassed to come to the feet of the cross of Jesus. And we get embarrassed to think, oh, what will they say if they hear about my problems? What will they say if they know that the doctor just told me that? What will they say if this happens? Or what will they say if they know my sin? What will they say? Who cares? If you have the opportunity to face the one who can heal you and forgive you of all those problems, who cares about what they say? You're not serving the person sitting next to you. You're not serving your family. You're serving Jesus Christ. He's the only one that matters in this equation. Sure, we all want to be healed. We want to overcome depression. We want to overcome financial issues. We want to overcome health issues. We want to overcome whatever issue is dragging us down. But we always seem to find a way to simplify it and make the issue that we're going through bigger than the God that we serve. You know the famous saying, that, and I know we have all heard this, you know, stop telling your problem, or stop telling God how big your problems is and start telling your problems how big God is. I mean, that's a wonderful saying, right? And we hear that. But the reality of it is that's very true. We often forget how big our God is and focus on how big our problems are in our life. We focus so much on the problems that are around us that we don't stop and say, listen, I'm tired of all this. I'm going to put this aside and I'm just going to look in the eyes of Jesus and say, God, you have the ability to do whatever you want. And I'm going to trust that whatever you do is what's in store for me. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care if they make fun of me. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the bank account says. I don't care what anything else says. I just want to serve you and trust you. And if you decide to come down and heal me, then that's a wonderful thing. I want to talk to you directly today. Maybe you're here today and you need a change. Maybe there's something going on in your life that has caused you to feel like everything around you is built up. Like the problems around you are bigger than your faith. That you don't have enough faith. I get it. I understand that when you're facing a problem so big in your life that you forget that God is there. And it's sometimes even hard just to get down to your knees and pray to God and ask God to come in and take care of that situation. Because we forget about God and how big He is. And so instead of praying to Him and lifting up our issues to Him, we lift up our issues to ourselves. And we allow them to weigh us down. This man who had leprosy needed a change. He wanted it so bad that he was willing to seek it out in the person of Jesus, even if that meant a severe punishment. See, today I wonder, do we have enough faith in ourselves that we would seek out the change that the Lord wants to do in us and for us, and we wouldn't care about any of the punishment around us? I ask the question, do you have faith to seek your healing, your answers to your prayers? Sometimes it takes putting everything on the line to say, I want Jesus more than what others may say or do. I totally butchered that on the slide. Not ten, what others may do. That should say then, others may do. But the question really has to ask is, do you really care what others have to say? Do you really care what others are going to do? Do you care about any of that stuff? No, you probably, if you find yourself in the midst of an issue, if you find yourself in a problem that's so big around you, you shouldn't care about anything else other than what Jesus wants to do and what He may do. You know, the man who came to Jesus, this man with leprosy, said something that I think is amazing. Can you flip over to the first verse of that scripture, Chad, please? He asked the question, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I want to pause there just for a moment. What this man is really saying to Jesus is, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And what he's saying to Jesus is he's coming to him and saying, he didn't come and say, Lord, if you can, will you make me clean? He didn't come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you know, are you really able to reach down and touch me? Are you really able to come down and do these things for me? Are you really able to do what others have said you have done? You know, I've heard these stories and I've heard you about how you've healed all the people and how you've healed a withered hand and how you have done many miracles in all these places and it's awesome, but you know, you probably can't heal my leprosy, but if you can, will you do it? That's not what this man said. This man comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if you will. It was never a question of if he could. It was a question of if he can, or if he would. I'm sorry. It was never a question whether he had the ability to do it. It was only the question of whether he would do it. And see, we miss out on that. Our prayer life becomes this thing of asking the Lord, Lord, if you are able to do this, will you do this? The Lord doesn't want that type of faith from us. He wants a faith that says, He wants us to go to Him and say, Lord, I know you can do whatever you want to do, and so if you're going to do it, will you do it, please? I really love this man in this story. I love this man with leprosy. Because in a moment, he does something that I absolutely love too, that I would definitely do. I see myself inside of him when he does this next thing. But in this portion of Scripture, he's not asking Jesus if he's able to. He's asking Jesus, if you will, make me clean. It wasn't a question. The only question this man had was if Jesus would actually do it. It wasn't a question of whether he could. It was a question of whether he would. I think too often today we go to the Lord and say, if you're able to do this. In our minds, we have this thinking. And see, I believe today, oftentimes our prayers are thwarted even before we begin them, because we go to the Lord asking the Lord to do things that we don't even really believe in our own mind that he can do. We go to the Lord and we ask him for things, and we, in our mind, in the back of our mind, maybe it's just me and maybe I live too much in my head, and I know I do, but maybe there's times we go before the Lord and our prayers, before they even come out of our mouth, we're asking for things that we don't really believe, or we haven't have confidence in our head that he can actually do it. The Lord can do whatever he wants, and we need to reprogram our thinking and rephrase our words that come out of our mouth when we praise him and when we pray to him, asking him not if he can, but if he will. The question is never whether God can do something. It's always whether he will. We don't understand his timing. We don't understand the whys of how he does things and why he does the things he does. But we do know he's always able to do whatever he wants. You don't need to go out and win the Powerball to have the Lord take care of you. You don't need to have a doctor give you a magic pill for you to be healed from something. You don't need some great promotion or anything else to be where God wants you to be. You just need faith in Jesus and walk with him. The Lord wants to do these wonderful things in you. But I think too often what happens is that when we go to him, we ask him not if he will, but can he do these things? When I have a child that comes up and asks you, if you're a coach on a football team or a baseball team or any sporting team, and you come up and say, you know, when they come up in confidence and they come up to you and say, "Coach, I can do it. I'm going to score the next goal. I'm going to take my. I almost said hockey stick because I was looking at Corey, but I'll say lacrosse stick for you, Chad and Belinda, because Belinda's a crazy lacrosse mom. But listen, if the game is on the line, and I have two young men sitting in front of me, and we need a score to win, and I look at them and they come to me and they say, one says, "I don't know that I can do it. I'll try my best." And another one says, "Put me in, coach. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take this ball and I'm going to go right down the, take this stick and whatever they call it. Is it a ball? It's a lacrosse ball? Yeah. I'm going to take this down and I'm going to score." I should have stayed with hockey because I know the puck and all of those. I don't know lacrosse that well. Sorry. Yeah. But honestly, who are you going to put in? If you're the coach and you're looking at them, who are you going to put in? You're going to put the one in that says, "I think I can do it," or you're going to put the one that stands up and says, "Put me in, coach, I'm going to do it. I don't care what the obstacles are before me, I know I can do it." You're going to put the confident one in. We should have all confidence in Jesus. When we come to him to pray, we should believe not that he can't or not that he might be able to, but he can do this. And our prayers and our petition should be to him that he would do it. Do you understand that this man's petition was not really that God, if God could or Jesus could heal him, it was a petition that he would heal him. And so God wants us to be in that position of praying to him, that we're praying to him and asking, "Lord, please do this in me. I know you can do this." Not coming to him and saying, "I don't know that you can do this, but if you can, will you do this?" It all comes down to the amount of belief that we have in the power of Jesus. Do you understand that? Your prayer life and your confidence in your prayer life directly relates back to where you are at in your faith. If you stand before the Lord and you ask him in not in a confident way, but you just ask him for things, and asking him, if you can do this, would you do this? Or would you be, no. If you stand before him in your confidence, then what you're doing is really displaying your belief of, that God is really on the throne. Because if we place Jesus on the throne and we place him up here, then he can do whatever he wants. Because again, he's the creator of all things. He's the creator of every breath that you and I take. He's the creator of all this world. Everything that's in this world that is positive and good and happy and joyful, he has done. And so when we go to him, he can do those things. He has a cattle on a thousand hills. I'm getting a little southern accent going there because I'm getting ready to go to Lynchburg, right? So heels, got to say heels. Y'all ready for this? No, the truth of the matter is that when we are confident in our faith, what we're really doing is putting Jesus up where he's supposed to be. And so when we get bad news, when we get things that hit us and are troubling, we can stand up in our faith and say, you know what? Yeah, I hear those things. And yeah, they're really upsetting. Yeah, they're difficult to go through. Yes, there are all those things. But the Lord is my Lord, and he's the one who decides when I take my last breath. He's the one who decides when my family members and the people I love take their last breath. That doesn't mean that we're going to live forever. I mean, sadly, for us that are left here, we do lose loved ones, but rejoice with them as they enter into the gates of heaven. And even that is a positive thing. I had a really good friend one day told me, you know, whether I'm healed here on this earth of cancer or I'm healed in heaven, I'm still going to be healed either way, and I'm going to rejoice in that fact because God heals me either way, whether it's here on this earth or in heaven. I looked at her and I said, well, I really surely hope it's here on this earth. And you know what? It was. She's still with us today, even after the doctors told her she only had 6 months to live. God can do amazing things. He can do whatever he wants. But it all comes down to how confident we are in our faith before him. How confident we are to approach him. This man approached Jesus an amazing confidence. Just think how our life would change if you and I would approach Jesus in the way that this man approached him. Just think how your prayer life would change. How would you rephrase things that you say? What would you take before the Lord that you don't take to him today because you think he's not going to listen or you're not going to be heard? How many times have you come before the Lord in a way that is less than confident? Listen, I know some of you in this room have been praying for something for a very long time. I know some of you have been praying for people to come to the Lord. I know that some of you have been praying for all kinds of different issues. And I'm not telling you that you're not confidently going before the Lord. But what I'm saying is that we can't allow doubt to creep into our mind. We have to be confident in our knowledge that Jesus is still God and he can do whatever he wants to do. I believe what often happens is that we allow doubt to creep in on our thoughts. And even if we believe that God can do this healing, even if we believe that God can take care of this situation, even before we say the words that come out of our mouth, we have resigned in our mind that he's not going to do it. We have resigned in our heads and in our thoughts and in our actions that Jesus is just not going to do it. He's not going to hear my prayers. Why do we do that? We do that because we're living in a world around us that is negative. We're living in a world around us that is devoid of Jesus and the miracles that he has. And they're devoid of those miracles because you and I are the miracle makers that he's using in this world to do. And when we don't do those miracles and we don't walk in that confidence, then we can't share with each other the confidence and the joy that each other has. And we can't see those miracles happening. And we can't share those. And then those miracles that happen in us get excited from someone else. And that someone else begins to get excited about those miracles. And it causes someone else to get excited, and then those miracles begin to propagate because Jesus wants to reside in those who believe in him. Jesus wants to reside and do miracles in you when he trusts and knows that you trust him regardless of what you're going to go through. Because the moment things turn south, the moment something stops happening, we're like, well, there you go. See, Jesus didn't hear me. He's not going to answer my prayers. And we become negative about it, and our heads start spinning, and we begin to plan for the demise or the end instead of planning for today. This is what I'm going to do to trust Jesus a little bit more. This is what I'm going to do to believe that he's going to pull me out of this situation. See, the reason that this man was healed was because he had great faith in Jesus. This man was willing to put everything on the line. He was able to approach Jesus with great confidence. He didn't ask if Jesus could do it. He knew Jesus could. And so when he approached Jesus, he asks him, "If you will, heal me." See, I think when we allow doubt to enter into our prayers, it hampers our prayers from being answered. Not because Jesus can't answer someone's prayers who are doubting, but it's because we stop from seeing those miracles answered because the doubt takes over in our minds. We need to stop doubting Jesus and start doubting the problems around us. I love what this man does next. You know, Luke chapter 14 says, "And Jesus charged this man to tell no one, but to go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded." See, back in the Old Testament, when you had leprosy, the only way that you could be proven clean and be able to re-enter into society was to go to the temple and prove to the temple priest that you were clean. And so they would go before them and they would do a full, the priest who had the ability to look over this man and say, "You are healed," and there was no issues, would do this. And so he was commanded by Jesus to go and do these things. Now, the funny story about all of this is that this man is being cleansed by Jesus. He's clean. He's being commanded to Jesus to go to the temple and prove himself clean. The only problem is that this man gets overwhelmed with joy. I don't have this on the screen, Chad, so you don't have to look for it. But let me read to you from Mark chapter 1, I'm sorry. Verse 42 says, "And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once." So Jesus is now sternly charging this man. Do not go out. We find in Luke that Jesus tells him to go to the temple. That's the sternly charge that he does. So what do you think you should do? You're just healed of this life-altering disease. You're just changed. You now can enter back into society. But you're supposed to go to the temple and go to the priest and say, "Look, I'm clean. I can re-enter the society." What does this man do? Yeah, I'm going to Disneyland, right? Yeah, no, he doesn't go to Disneyland, but quite close, right? Jesus says in verse 43 of Mark chapter 1, "And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.' But instead," verse 45, "he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news and spread it so well that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town." This man who has just been commanded by Jesus, he's just been cleansed by Jesus, who just has this amazing miracle happen in his life, is then told by Jesus to go to the temple and do. And what does he do? He doesn't obey Jesus. Why do I love a man who doesn't obey Jesus? That's a good question, right? I shouldn't. I should love the man who obeys Jesus, and we should obey Jesus. But this man was so excited about the cleansing that just happened to him that he had to go and tell everyone around him, "Look, Jesus made me clean." He is one of the very first evangelists of Jesus that we find in Scripture. John the Baptist was the very first. But we find this man also now an evangelist for Jesus. He was so happy and so excited that he was clean that he wanted to go show everyone who did it. And so he goes running around the town telling everyone, "Look, I am clean." Never once says that the man went to the temple to be certified clean from Moses or by the temple in the way that Moses would have during those times. He's encouraged or sternly charged by Jesus to go to the temple to get clean, but instead he doesn't. He runs around and he tells everyone about this, and so many people hear about what Jesus does that Jesus no longer can enter into a town unannounced. I think this man was so excited about what Jesus had just done for him that he couldn't hold it in. He had to go tell someone. Have you ever had something so exciting that God has done in your life that you just couldn't wait to tell someone? You had to go out and tell everyone. You had, and it's almost like, "I know I should wait. I know I should wait. I know I should wait. I can't wait anymore. I got to tell everyone. Look what Jesus did to me. The response from Jesus is amazing, though. And I believe this is in here for a reason. I'm going to end with this, and I want to share this with you. Jesus says, we'll go back to Luke again. Luke says in verse 16, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. You know that Jesus had a rhythm about how he would do ministry? You know, Jesus had a rhythm of how he would do things. Jesus would go into a town, he would seek out the people who were sick, the people that needed prayer, and he would pray for them, and he would bless them, and he would see these miracles happen to them. And then what he would do after that point is he would retreat. And he would go before the Father, and he'd pray to the Father and ask the Father in heaven, please come down and help me, and he would pray. I love the rhythm of Jesus, and I think someday I'm going to do a sermon on this, the rhythm of Jesus, because there's stories that we hear in this. There's a heartbeat to Jesus' ministry that we find over and over and over again that he would do this. He goes out, he pours himself out, and then he retreats and he prays and he tries to get filled up again. Then he goes out and he pours himself out, and then he retreats and he prays and he fills himself up again. It's the rhythm of ministry that we all should learn how to do. The rhythm of ministry that we all need to learn to go out, and as we go out and we pray and we pour ourselves out to someone, we need to then retreat back and get filled up by the one who can fill us up, and that's God the Father. My question to you today, though, is not so much the rhythm of Jesus, because in order to have rhythm of Jesus, you have to have confidence in him. Do you have the confidence that this man of leprosy had? Are the things that are in your life telling you that they're too big for you? Are the things that you're facing in your life so big that you feel like you can't overcome them? Then let me ask you to learn from the story of this man who had leprosy. Put it all out on the line. Put everything out there. Who cares what your neighbor is going to say? Who cares what someone next to you is going to say? Who cares what your family members say? Who cares what someone makes? If someone makes fun of you, they're not worthy of being around. If your faith causes someone to make fun of you, chalk it up as joyful noise from the Lord. Actually, Paul tells us to rejoice in our persecutions. My question to you today is that, can you take your issue that you have, can you take the thing that you're going through right now, and can you have such a confidence of faith and believe that Jesus is going to do a miracle in that faith? Our job is not to question doctors. Our job is not to tell doctors that they're wrong. Our job is not to do any of those things, because the doctors are only doing what they know how to do. I go to the doctor, and when the doctor tells me I'm sick, I probably am. That's why I'm there. But I don't have to believe that they can heal me, that they're the only ones that can do it. I can believe that Jesus can heal me. And sometimes he chooses to use modern medicine to heal us. Sometimes he chooses to use natural things around us to heal us. Sometimes he chooses other things to cause us to be right before him. But sometimes, and I think not sometimes, but always, it's our faith in him and how confident we are. When we're confident in the Lord, when we're confident in him, and we approach him confidently in our prayer life, then he will, I think, be happy to hear our prayers and to answer them. Again, I'm not saying that he's not going to hear your prayers when you doubt, because God has the power of hearing all those things. But I think he's more likely to hear our prayers when we approach him confidently than he is. He hears all prayers. I think he's more, when we walk to him and we pray to him and we stand before him confidently, our prayers are more likely to be answered, I believe, because we're worshiping God confidently. We're putting him in the right place. If you go before the Lord and you ask him and you pray and you say, Lord, if you can do this, will you do it? I believe somehow we're degrading God. He is the King of Kings, after all. He is the Lord of Lords. And we should treat him like that. Will you stand with me, please? I'm overwhelmed by the faith of this man. And the faith of this man has really caused me to rethink some of the things I've gone through this week and just struggled with and have been dealing with. And I keep going back to this, and I keep hearing the Lord say, listen to what you're preaching, listen to what you're reading. And as I read this, I can't imagine other... What stands out on me is just a simple phrase of this man's prayer to Jesus. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. So today I want to ask you this question. And it's a question I've been struggling with all week long. Do you really believe that Jesus can answer the prayers that you're praying? Because it isn't until you're faced with a life and death situation that I think that's really tested. I think when you're told, I just believe that Jesus wants to answer prayers. But we have to be confident in our prayers. And that's hard. But that's what we as a church family is all about. See, Jesus didn't put you into this world to face the issues alone. He never put you on this earth to go through hearing things or struggling with things alone. It's at those times when our faith seems to be waning, when we seem to be questioning our faith, that we need to look upon our brothers and sisters and say, listen, I'm struggling with this and I don't know how to deal with it. I know that God is real. I know that He answers prayers. I know that He does miracles. And I know He wants to do a miracle in my life. But I need your help. That's when we as brothers and sisters rely on each other. This man didn't need his brothers and sisters. He had unbelievable faith. This man who had leprosy had unbelievable faith. I want faith like that. I want to have faith like the man who had leprosy. I do. I that's been my prayer this week, is Lord, let me have the same faith that this man who had leprosy. Lord, I don't want leprosy, but I want the faith of this man. So my question for you today is, can you have that faith? Can you look past the issues that are in your life? Can you look past the doctor's reports? Can you look past the bank accounts? Can you look past the bills? Can you look past the relationship issues? Can you look past the problem? Can you look past the anger? Can you look past the sadness? Can you look past the depression and look upon the eyes of Jesus and say, Lord, it's not if you can, it's if you will. Father, we pray today. We come before you in the same way that this man with leprosy came. Lord, we're willing to put our faith on the line. We're willing to do whatever it takes. And so, Father, I'm laying this out to you, Father. I'm laying it out to you saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm here, and I know, Lord, that you can do whatever you want to do. And sometimes I've allowed doubt to creep into my mind. And sometimes I've allowed the devil to speak to me, and I've allowed my problems to speak to me louder than I've allowed you to speak to me. And so I apologize and I repent of that right here and now. And I believe, Jesus, that you can heal, that you can overcome, that you can solve issues that we can't solve. We just have to believe and have confidence in our faith that you will either heal us here on this earth or you will heal us in heaven. And so, Lord, we stand before you now asking you, help us to have that confidence. Help us to have that belief. And when we fail, Father, when we slip, put our brothers and sisters in our path. Put the people around us that we need to lift us up and say, remember that we serve a God who can overcome all these things. You're not alone. You're not suffering through these things on your own. Father, we want to believe. We want to believe that you can do whatever it is that you want to do. That we will have the confidence to walk with you, to be with you, and to believe that you can heal us, that you can solve issues, that you can provide for us when there doesn't seem to be any providing. And that you can pull us out of places that we can't on our own. Give us that faith that we need today. Help us to have that faith like the man who had leprosy. And let us walk with you in everything that we do and say, so that we too can see miracles and we too can spread it around town and run around telling people how good you are. Lord, we love you, glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen.